B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Football Friday. Brian Westbrook will join us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll have our locks of the week for the first time. Brian versus moi. I'm going with three pro games. College, I'm not really in tune yet. I was thinking of Penn State. That line's gone up from 22 to 30, Tyrone. You like Nittany Lions against the always tough Buffalo team?
I'm actually a little afraid of that line.
You are?
Only because I'm wondering if people bet it because of what they did against Idaho.
Khalil Mack going to have a big game for Buffalo?
Unfortunately, he can't. He had a heck of a game last night in the loss, though.
Yeah, he did. He's a great player.
But that's my one fear. I know you guys are going to blow him out, Penn State, but I do wonder if people saying, oh, they won 70-7. What are they going to do now? And that's a stay away from me in my mind. Because I have no idea. I have no idea if Buffalo's good or not. Buffalo has been good all the years.
Well, the line of 22 would indicate they're better than Idaho.
That's what I mean. So, to me, it's a stay away. But if you're betting it, you have to bet Penn State. You hold your nose and take Penn State.
Take the Lions.
Yeah, if you're going to bet it, I'm saying for me, it'd be a stay away. I'm taking Michigan over Army minus 122.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I think they're going to smoke that
too low. The big bad Michigan Wolverines are only 22-point favorite over Army. You better look at that again.
I like them.
You do?
I do with the new offense.
That's a stay away game.
That's fair.
Army's got that weird offensive configuration that the Wolves might not be able to figure out until late.
I'm 1-0 this season so far with college. Let's see what happens.
What, you think Rutgers?
Nah, I beat Charles in that.
The Charles Barkley bet. Yeah, okay. Also, coming up this hour, we'll talk to Kareem Copeland from the Washington Post. Oh, we're going deep. We're going to the Post today. Get the Redskins low down on whether they can actually stay close in this game, which I don't believe they can.
Yeah, he's currently in the locker room, so we're just waiting to confirm when he gets out.
All right, sounds good. That's 3 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli, World Famous Tomato Pie. And Hoagie Party Tray is every bit as good. Let's go, Rodriguez in Middletown. What's up, Rodriguez?
Mike, mi amigo, ¿qué pasó?
Oh, ¿qué pasó?
Yo estoy muy bien. Y ahí están mis tres amigos of radio.
Hey, I got a question for you, since I got you on the line here. Hey. I've been watching Cesar Hernandez the last couple of games, right?
Yeah.
Now, Cesar needs an interpreter in the locker room. I see him a couple days ago. He's in a chat with Joey Votto at second base. And yesterday, he's at third base, and he's having a long conversation with the third base coach. What's up with the interpreter?
I don't know, man.
I'll tell you what it is. I don't think Cesar likes to talk to the press and hides behind the language barrier.
That's what it is, Mike. Yes. A lot of Latinos like to hide behind the
I figured that out. All of a sudden, he's got a conversation going with Joey Votto. Now, I know Joey Votto might not be able to speak good English either, but it looks like Cesar was communicating with him.
Hey, Mike, I speak both languages perfectly. But let me tell you one thing. If it comes down to, acting like maybe I don't speak it, then I don't speak it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Mike, is I grew up in this country, basically. Uh-huh. I've been here over 55 years. You can hear the way I speak now. I speak, I like to play with it every now and then.
Oh, I love your accent. When you speak Spanish to me, I love it. It rolls off the tongue. It's a beautiful language.
Claro, Mike, claro. Sí, muchas señoritas,
You're too much,
hey, Mike,
man.
Let me ask. You said Nick Foles is not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Now, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not a Hall of Famer in the sense of the word Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, but he's on the Hall of Fame.
What?
So is he considered a Hall of Famer?
No. The Hall of Famers are the ones elected to the Hall of Fame.
But he is the man who the 7 touchdowns on the game.
Yeah, but he wasn't elected to the Hall of Fame. Guys are elected to the Hall of Fame on an accomplishment. Come on, Rodriguez, you know that.
Wow, that's a complimento. That's a complimento. Hey, Mike. the thing is about the jersey. Listen, I have both jerseys. I have the Nick Foles jersey for a while. I've had Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Mike, when I wear the Carson Wentz jersey, I get a lot of people tell me, well, he hasn't won anything. Why are you wearing that? When I wear the Nick Foles jersey, I get a lot of pops from people. You know, hey, Nick Foles, hey, Super Bowl.
Hey, listen, you can wear it around. We're talking about at the game, wearing it at the game.
Mike, I understand, Mike, but listen, Mike. The Nick Foles jersey, I used to live in Miami, Florida. Now, Greasy, you know, there's been so many Super Bowl, so many quarterbacks after Greasy, but none of them won the Super Bowl. But Greasy jerseys are still going to be Greasy jerseys. They're going to be around. Nick Foles' jersey is going to be around for a long time. Because if the Eagles don't win another Super Bowl, it'll be around. This jersey is going to be around for a long time. People are going to wear Nick Foles' jersey for 20, 25 years to come.
But they have to wear it later. They can't wear it now. You know what you're being today, Rodriguez? Obstinado. All right. Nice talk.
Okay, Mike. Listen, that's what I thought, you know, Mike.
All right, Rodriguez. Hey. Buena suerte.
Lo vamos de mañana, Mike.
All right, buddy.
Big Foles guy, Rodriguez.
Yeah, he was a Foles guy. Listen, it's simple. You got a Foles jersey. You want to wear it around the neighborhood. You wear it at home to watch the game. You got a grocery store. Knock yourself out. We're talking about showing up at a home game where Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback with a Nick Foles jersey. To me, is a little out of line. It's disrespectful to your current quarterback. More importantly, your whole team. Because the quarterback's 80% of what the team is. So you're not being respectful to your team. This is the guy that's leading your team to this quest to go to another Super Bowl and maybe win it. So you're diluting his stature as that person if you wear the Foles jersey. And again, the Foles jersey can be worn years down the road as a tribute jersey. Maybe even within 3 years. If Carson Wentz has already won another Super Bowl, are you going to wear it? No. Probably not going to wear it anyway. But later on, if you're that taken by the fact that he was the first Super Bowl, knock yourself out. It's a tribute jersey. All right, let's go Jamar in Miami. Jamar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Jamar?
Hey, I've listened to you for a long time and still glad you're doing good. So, shout out to you, Mike.
Thanks, Jamar.
So,
how are things in Miami? You don't like it?
I'm happy to be Eagles fan. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Yeah,
Dolphins.
Nobody talks about the Dolphins. But I actually called because...
Nobody talks about the Marlins either.
No.
Nobody talks about the Panthers either.
No.
That's a sick sports climate other than when LeBron was down there.
Right. After LeBron left, nobody cares about the Heat either.
Yep.
Nobody cares that they got Jimmy Butler. Nobody cares.
Yep.
But the reason I called was because I just want to call about my hatred for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly their fans. I cannot stand the Cowboys fans, especially the ones that live in Philadelphia, that live right next to the stadium, that never been to Texas. You ask one of them are their Mavericks fans, they're probably Lakers fans, they're probably Yankees fans. Hey, listen, you Cowboy fans, I hate your guts. I always going to hate your guts, especially the ones living in Philadelphia. You front runners, I cannot stand you guys, and you guys are going to get swept by the Eagles this year, so you can stay on the internet and talk all your crap, dust off your old trophies from 2 decades ago, be happy with that, and get used to the Eagles running you guys for the next 10 years. I hate the Cowboys.
Jamar, I'm glad you got that off your chest. That made you feel better. That's fantastic. I take the other tact. I ignore them. I don't give them the power that they're affecting me. Because they're not. Here's what I know. They're not as good as the Eagles. So live with that. All right? That's the way I look at it.
Eagles going 13-3 this year, and every time they go 13-3, they go to the Super Bowl. So go Eagles all the way from Miami, and I will be at the Dolphins game. Go Eagles.
All right, buddy.
You guys have a good one.
You got it. All right, let's go Josh in Warminster. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Josh?
I just wanted to first say I agree. Eagles are definitely going 13-3 this year.
Okay, 13-3 is one more game than I have. So, who are the losses?
Sadly, I'm thinking week 2 with Atlanta.
Really? Atlanta. I'm interested in that Atlanta. What do you think Atlanta is going to have in store for them that they haven't had over the last 7 years?
I don't think it's just going to be Atlanta. I think it's just going to be the Eagles not performing as well as they do on the road in week 2. We saw it with the Chiefs.
All right.
I don't know what it is.
That's fair. All right, so you have Atlanta, One in Dallas?
Chicago Bears get their revenge.
Chicago Bears. Double doink revenge. Okay.
And then Seattle. They just tear us up.
You got them losing two games at home. Interesting. Yeah. But winning at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Winning at Minnesota. Winning at Dallas.
They're going to sweep Dallas this year. I have it. Screw Dallas.
All right. Okay.
And I did want to bring up one other point.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be out of the question if the Eagles were to bring right tackle Jordan Mailata, say on a 3-yard line play, and give him the ball, like a William the Fridge Perry kind of thing?
Yeah, it's been talked about for like the last couple of years that they would do that because there's this notion that because he carried the rugby ball, he could do that. But I don't think the Eagles think that he's quick enough to do it. He's not going to play. He's injured.
I mean, I could see him maybe one play.
Yeah, he might be on injured reserve. I don't know.
Let's see what happens. Not be a depth chart player.
Yeah.
But it would be a fun, like, almost like a Philly special kind of play.
It sounds good, but it's maybe, you know, the defense is just so much better than when Refrigerator Perry obviously did that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Bigger linemen, better edge rushers. Yeah. It would be more difficult, but it'd still be fun to see.
Yeah, I know. Everybody has that same notion about Mailata. Club Tyrone, you have that same notion?
No. He's apparently the back's going to be okay, but I don't think he's going to be activated because Diller's going to be activated. Obviously, then Big V's going to have to be. The only way I think he even dresses is Brooks doesn't dress. So I don't think he'll be able to carry. You can't carry the ball at all if you're not in uniform.
Was Club Tyrone in revolt yesterday when Haisley was pinch hit for for Jay Bruce, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Just a straight up pinch hit against a right-handed pitcher. He already had two hits in the game. And Gabe put in Jay Bruce there in a tie 3-3 game. What was that about?
And what happened?
Jay Bruce struck out.
Oh.
But talking about the mindset of that. What do you think the mindset of that was?
That Gabe is desperate.
He was desperate?
Desperate.
I
got to
be honest with you. I understand that Haisley wasn't going to hit a home run. He's not a home run threat. And he's more of a ground ball, bloop hitter. But I don't understand why he would do something like that there. There's no reason to pinch hit for a left-handed batter with a guy that you think is just more of a home run threat. I don't understand it. So if Haisley doubles, what's the difference? You have a guy in scoring position. I understand it would take another hit to score him, but I don't know where the big advantage you're gaining there. It's hard to hit a home run. It's not like it's guaranteed that you're going to send a guy up, he's going to hit a home run.
And he hasn't played much lately. The guy isn't in some great groove coming back from injury. I think that's overmanaging, in my opinion. Now,
I'll be honest with you. I didn't understand that. The rest of it, you know, everybody's griping about, he took Vargas out too soon. Come on. We're talking about Jason Vargas. He took him out too soon. He gave up a blast. You know he's only a 6-inning pitcher anyway. Now, he brought in Jared. Goofy gave up the home run, which hurt him. But you can't look back and say they should have let Vargas in.
No, I agree with
that.
And
then the other thing is the Neris thing. They were this double switch and play. Neris is not going to throw 2 innings for you. Whether he threw 9 pitches or not, you don't know he's going to throw 9 pitches, but you're not planning on him throwing 2 innings.
What I do is I set up where Pivetta can go innings because he can go multiple innings. I don't have Pivetta personally go one batter. I have somebody else there. I want Pivetta coming in clean, and if he needs to go 3 or 4 because he can go 3 or 4, that's my gripe. Pivetta for one pitch.
All right, but what the complaint was that they didn't double switch so Neris could pitch another inning.
Right.
Where's Neris pitching 2 innings anyway? He's never pitched 2 innings. He's been 5 outs maximum, and they stretch him for 5 outs.
Maybe they're thinking get 2 more outs and then anything to not put Vincent in the game. But I think that's too much. I thought the Pivetta situation was the one that was wrong. Right. I can't use Pivetta for one batter.
Okay. Let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. It seems to me, and I'm a big Carson Wentz fan, but the natural reaction, I think the human reaction for somebody in his situation is to come out and say, I'm back and try to do too much. Do you think that Peterson will dial back a little bit, or
no?
adjust things a little bit so Wentz doesn't?
No.
Have that Superman deal?
No.
Okay.
No, I really don't. And the coach pretty much said it. Like, he can't coach that way to ease a guy in. They have to win a football game. So you got to come at it with your best game plan. Without regard to easing him in. They said he was ready. They said he had enough practice, especially in his two-way practices with the Ravens. He's ready to go. So if he's ready to go, let's go.
Well, he could run the ball a little more, you know, and
you're not going to do that anyway. That's the one thing you're not going to see. I don't think he's going to run the ball.
Well, I mean, I think it would be a mistake not to be balanced. Because
him personally is not going to run the ball. They will. Will run the ball. Obviously, they'll run the ball.
Okay. Well, I misunderstood.
Yeah, they're going to pass it more than run, but they're going to run the ball. They get Jordan Howard for that reason because he's more of a first down back.
Sure. Well, it seems like against Washington over the years, they're big on those home run balls. You know, the first play seems like every year they're going deep. Maybe they'll connect with Deshaun this time.
I would like to see that. Might as well open it up right away. Andy Reid did it with the T.O.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, think back, was it Mike Vick against Washington when they scored, like, just ridiculous points early on deep balls.
Yeah, they were up. They ran all over the field on Washington. They were up, what, 27-0?
Yeah.
Something like that. I'd love to
see it.
Yeah. All right, bro.
I'd love to see it.
You got
Thanks.
It. All right, Antonio Brown has issued a statement. He said, I'm excited to be out here today with all you crackers. No. I added that. He said, I'm excited to be out
That's
here today. I want to apologize to my teammates, the organization. Enough talk, man. I'm excited to be out here with my teammates, grateful for all the fans, and I'm excited to be part of the Raiders and see you guys soon. Does that mean he's going to play in game one?
Yeah, he's playing Monday.
Yeah, he's playing Monday.
Because he don't want to lose that $30 million. Now, does he play game two? I don't know. But he's going to play on Monday.
What do you mean he's not going to play game two?
Well, once you get, he's a vested veteran. Once he sits up week one, that year's salary's guaranteed.
So what?
And a lot of that $30
million. What's he going to do, walk out again?
I think that he might go after, because he's going to have a decent game. Uh-huh. And then he go MF after the game. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right, well, I got three prop bets involving Antonio Brown, people. You might want to listen to this. You can bet these. Will Antonio Brown be on an NFL roster week one? That's Sunday. Yes, -300 is the favorite. So he's playing. Now, second one. Will Antonio Brown be cut during the 2019 regular season? Yes is the favorite at -200. So what he's saying
outright
is that his money will vest, and yet the Raiders will eat the money by cutting him later because something else will happen.
If Mayock doesn't humble himself publicly, he's not going to let this go. We've seen it happen with out in Pittsburgh. Had Roethlisberger apologized in public, he'd probably still be a Steeler. But this guy's nuts. Unless Mayock goes on TV, and he's not going to do this, but goes on TV and says, I mistreated him. I shouldn't have fined him. He's a great player. Unless he does that, it's going to blow up again. Because this is what this guy wants. He wants public retribution. He basically said it on one of his Twitter things or Instagram thing that he wanted Ben to apologize with the same energy because he ripped him in public. He wanted him to apologize in public. Ben refused, and he blew up that locker room. So unless Mayock apologizes in public,
well,
he's going to do something else.
Let me say this. This Gruden has wormed his way out of this situation like I've never seen anybody worm his way out. Now, when Mayock sent the letter to Antonio Brown, which ignited him with a fine, sending an impersonal letter, you owe me $54,000, without a man-to-man conversation. Do you think Gruden was behind that? Gruden didn't know anything about that? Gruden was scared to death to approach the guy. He's supposed to be Mr. Tough Chucky. He couldn't have had a conversation with Antonio. Antonio, listen, man. You know I love you. I got you here. I want you to be part of this team. But we got a protocol here. We got to fine you. Now, I'm telling you man to man so we can put this thing. Instead, he instructs his henchmen to write an impersonal letter. Gruden is a weasel. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll, and then we will talk to Kareem Copeland about the Washington Redskins. Natalie egging off the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
Yes, it is, Mike, and we currently have over 900 votes on it. By how much will the Eagles win this Sunday? 57% say 10 or more, 28% say 7 to 10, 8% say 3 to 6, 7% say they'll lose. So 10 or more points, still in the lead.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, and without further ado, let's find out what the Eagles face on Sunday. And, of course, in Vegas, they don't think they're going to face very much. They're a 10-point favorite against the Washington Redskins. The man covers the Redskins in the Washington Post. Kareem Copeland joins us. Kareem, how are you feeling today?
Good. How's it going?
Awesome. Now, let's talk about this team because, you know, not a lot of people in Philadelphia give the Redskins very much of a chance. And, you know, the personnel, I think, between one team and the other, there's a wide disparity. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. I mean, the Eagles right now, I mean, they're Super Bowl contenders this year, and the Redskins are not. They're just, the building of their organization is just not where that is right now. So there's a gap, and that's not much of a surprise. But what you're going to see on defense, the Redskins have a good young defense. That's where they're going to, you know, that's what's going to win them games for them this year. Basically, what they want to do is play great defense, run the ball, and not turn it over. You know, they're going to win a lot of, well, they're trying to win games 20-17. They would love to be in a game that the Bears and Packers played last night. That's much more of their speed. If they get into a spot where they have to score a ton of points to keep up, that's just not how this team is built to win. So that's just where they are right now. You know, they're a team that's still rebuilding this offense. The left side of the line has definitely got some question marks. Without Trent Williams at left tackle, so they're working Donald Penn in. And then at left guard, they're starting someone new. They've got Eric Flowers there, and he's transitioning from tackle. So there's just a lot of things going on that offense that's, quite frankly, a lot of question marks. A really young receiving core. Only Paul Richardson, he's the only guy who's played more than three games out of all the receivers total. So that's why they're underdogs, quite frankly.
All right, let's talk about the defense first, since it's their strength. Now we understand that they have a couple of notable players that have always played well against the Eagles, Kerrigan being one of them, and Josh Norman's still back there, Landon Collins is back there. Who are the guys that are under the radar that we're going to notice in this game defensively for the Redskins?
Well, I don't know if they constitute as under the radar, but the defensive front, the defensive line, that's the best group on this team by far. It's Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen and Matt Ioannidis. Those three guys up front, that is the strength of this team. And then, like you said, you'll have Kerrigan coming off the edge, and the rookie Montez Sweat will get a lot of snaps there. Also Ryan Anderson. But it's that front three, if they set the tone for that defense. So that's really who you want to look for.
Right. Ioannidis, of course, is the tempo guy.
Yep, absolutely. He just got an extension. You know, he's, you know, underrated, super underrated. You know, he's low-key one of the better defensive linemen in the league that nobody ever really talks about. So that's the strength. That's where they want to really press the pocket and try to get into Carson's face and quite frankly, shut down the run. That's what they're known for, especially with Payne. You know, Payne and Allen are both two of those Alabama guys, so it all starts up front for them.
All right, let's look at the offense. They are a very young at wide receiver, and they've got a veteran quarterback who last time he faced the Eagles didn't play very well. And they've got a running back who's got potential but missed last year. What are they going to try to do on offense?
They're going to try to run the ball. And Jay Gruden said this week that, hey, they're going with Darius Geis. You know, he was the second round pick last year that blew out his ACL. So he didn't play at all. He still hasn't played an NFL game. But he is, you know, he's a strong runner, quick. Every time in the preseason, he keeps showing you what he's showing everybody, kind of why they drafted him in the first place. But, you know, he was out all last year. And then people thought it was going to be a heavy split with Adrian Peterson because, shoot, Adrian turned the clock back last year, ran for 1,000 yards. But it sounds like Darius is the clear number one. And so they're going to try to run through him. They'll probably run to the right more than the left, considering the offensive line issues that they have. But they're at least the good thing about Eric Flowers at left guard, he's better run blocking right now than he is in the past game. So if things go well, it'll be because they're firing off the ball and Darius is picking up big chunks of yards.
We're talking to Kareem Coble, Washington Post. Kareem, the quarterback dynamic is interesting because Case Keenum obviously is a placeholder for Dwayne Haskins. And it's a matter of time, I think, before Haskins takes over. But if Case Keenum starts off poorly, like, what is his leash that they would be tempted to use Haskins? Could Haskins be used to come in and save a game, maybe?
It depends on when. I don't think right now. I don't think early in these first couple games. I mean, they've got to play four playoff teams in the first five games. The only break really should be against the Giants, and that's still a division opponent. So I think it would be tough to throw Dwayne into a, hey, let's save a game situation right now. You know, he's got all the potential in the world, and he's shown so many flashes throughout the preseason and in camp and things like that, but it's just so much to being an NFL quarterback and all the little mental details and that kind of stuff. He just doesn't have all that stuff all the way down yet, so I don't think it's really fair to kind of throw him into a save us situation. I think once they decide, hey, we're going to Dwayne Haskins, that's them turning the ball over to him and saying, all right, it's your team now, let's go. That may happen this season, but I don't think you throw him in there like intermittently to kind of try to save a situation. I think once he goes in, it's like, okay, let's go with the rook now.
All right, and suppose it's 31-3 going into the fourth quarter. Then what?
At that point, you might have to consider, hey, can we get some, you know, good reps for the rookie? I can understand that thought process.
But Keenum will start next week. They'll play him in the fourth quarter, but Keenum will still be the starter. I get it. All right, the Trent Williams thing. What's going on with that?
Nobody really has a good feel on when he's coming back. There was some news yesterday when Adrian Peterson told us that he had actually seen Trent and spoke to him in person. So he was here in the DC area yesterday. The thing is, you know, he's upset with, he had a medical condition where he had a growth on his scalp and, I guess it was misdiagnosed, and there's been issues with this Redskins medical staff in the past, and this seems to be like the straw that broke the camel's back. And, you know, apparently he was pretty frightened by whatever the condition was. We're not exactly positive, you know, I don't want to speculate exactly what it was, but it was a big enough deal that this is, you know, started all of this. And so I have heard, the latest thing I heard was he could possibly be close to returning, but you hear that one day, and then 2 days later you hear, he's not coming back and has no plans to do so anytime soon.
Well, what does he want? What does he want them to do?
And so that's the odd thing that we're all trying to figure out. I don't know if throwing money is going to make you feel any better. Throwing some more money at him is going to make him feel any better. If you're really that scared as far as a health thing, you know, we're not talking about just football health. We're talking about health. And so is a couple extra dollars going to make you feel better about that? I don't know if it's realistic to have a training staff or certain members of a training staff fired at this point as you're going into week one. I don't know if that's even possible or exactly what he wants. I know there's some talk about, there were some reports about that, but I don't know that he wants that responsibility to be, you know, the guy who's getting people fired. So that's the thing that we keep asking, that there hasn't been a clear answer to, of what exactly does he want and what exactly is it going to take to get back, unless he just doesn't want to be with this organization any longer.
Interesting situation. All right, Kareem, the moment of truth, your final score.
Oh, I haven't thought about a final score, but I mean, I'm sure it'll be, I don't think it'll be the crazy blowout that a lot of people think, but I think the Eagles will win probably by double digits, you know, probably something between 10 and 12 points, I'd probably think.
Okay, the line's 10, that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably right around 10, yeah.
Right around 10? That doesn't do me any good. I'm ready to place a wager here.
sorry, I'm not good on the button.
Just give me 11 at least.
All right, we'll give you 11.
All right,
how about that?
Hey, thanks for coming on, Kareem. Appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, there's Kareem Copeland covering the Washington Redskins for the Washington Post. So there you go. What did you just hear? Crap. It's a crap team coming in.
Young guys.
How are they going to move the football? Listen, the Eagles defense is not the greatest defense in the world, but how do you move the football with that? Inexperienced offensive line. Running back hasn't played yet. Young wide receivers. They still have Jordan Reed, who's 100 years old, who usually makes some catches against them.
Yeah, but he's in a concussion protocol.
Oh, he is?
So they don't know if he's going to play.
But then you got Vernon Davis, who's 74.
So where they're at is, they better score on that first drive early when the Eagles don't know what they're going to do. Because if they don't score early, it's only going to get tougher for them to score as the game goes.
Yeah, it is. All right, 610-632-0975. The Mike Mussinelli Show continues. Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3:48. A little dramatic music coming back. A little drama. All right, Phillies lineup is out tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Phillies and the Mets, Steven Matz. Pitched well against them last time, normally gets cuffed. Phillies throwing right-handed central at him tonight, Tyrone, with a couple of surprise dudes in the lineup tonight. You ready for this?
I can't wait.
El Mambo leading off tonight.
El Mambo leading off?
Segura is your leadoff hitter because they don't have Dickerson in the lineup tonight. Segura jumps up to one hole. Real is your two hitter.
On fire still.
On fire. Harp hit third. Big fella in the cleanup spot. Jetpacks hitting fifth. Compa H is your second baseman. Oh, no. Mike Franco getting the start at third base tonight. Sound the horns. That's unbelievable. Why? Because he's 5-for-10. See? You criticize Gabe for analytics. There you go. 5-for-10 with two bombs off of Mets is Franco, and he's in the lineup. So now they needed a right-hander to play left field. They got Sean Rodriguez there. But are they putting him in the lineup? No!
Who
are
they putting in the
lineup? Jose Parrella, up from AAA, playing left field. Jose Parrella. AAA call-up in September will start in left field tonight.
Am I supposed to know who he is?
He's a 29-year-old AAA player who has been with the Yankees and the San Diego Padres organizations. In fact, last year with the Padres, he got 438 at-bats.
All right.
And hit .249 with 5 home runs and 32 RBIs.
Yeah, I didn't watch many Padres games last year. They were wretched.
Yes.
So
he is your left fielder. He's a utility player.
Okay.
He will play left field tonight for your fighting Phils.
I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of subs in this game. This is going to be a Gabe game.
8 right-handed hitters, if you count Zach Eflin, who gets the start tonight against Steven Matz. In Flushing. Must-win situation. Must-sweep situation.
That's where they're at.
How
right
you
now.
Feeling tonight, Tyrone?
you know what? Your pronunciations of the nickname has me all juiced up to where I think they're going to win the game tonight.
And I guess Jose's nickname will be Compa P or Compa P, as it's said in the Espanol alphabet.
I think Franco hits another home run tonight.
You like Franco hitting a home run? Your boy back up in the starting lineup. I thought they had him buried.
And you know who else is going to hit
Sean
one tonight?
No, Sean Rod tonight. What?
I'm feeling it again. Jetpacks is going to hit one, too.
You like Jetpacks tonight?
Yeah, I think he's really taking the charge.
I hate to ruin your party here, but the Mets are minus 150.
That's all right. You're
ringing with the Phillies?
Yeah, I'm going to bet it right now on Sugar House.
Are you? Yep. Minus 150 for the Mets. It's a pretty heavy line. Let's go to Brian in Bucks County. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Brian?
Listen, number one, you sound like such a millennial complaining about somebody wearing a Nick Foles jersey to an Eagles game. Like, he's enshrined forever now. He won a Super Bowl. Like, just literally stop complaining about it. That's my
point. No, I'm not complaining about it. It's just out of line.
It's out of line. What
it's
do you
disrespectful
mean?
To your current starting quarterback.
It's like somebody wearing a John Elway jersey to a Broncos game.
No, that's different because John Elway is a legend. He's a Hall of Fame legend who doesn't play anymore. You're missing the point. You're totally off.
I'm not even a Foles fan.
Well, you're wrong. So just bite the bullet.
Point,
go ahead.
Well, my more important point is you sound like the most biased Walmart brand Mike Francesa when you say the Eagles are just better than the Cowboys. Do you want to go down the list and actually compare player by player?
Do you actually think I'm going to get sucked into an argument with a weasel Cowboy fan? Do you think I have a lot of time on my hands to waste getting into it with a Cowboy fan? You got the wrong dude. Homie, don't play that. Homie, don't have time for that. Matt in North Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, I wanted to go over the schedule. I got the Eagles at 11-5. I got losses at Atlanta, at Green Bay, at Dallas, and then I got losses home to New England and Seattle. Now, the caveat there is they could win one of those home games against Seattle or New England, but they could also lose, one of the games I have them winning, an easy one, whether it's the last game of the season or just overlooking somebody and take that call with a dumb loss.
Yeah, so they're not going to win any tough game this year? You must not think much of your squad.
Well, I got them beaten some decent teams like Minnesota and Chicago. I got them beaten basically other than the away game in Dallas, sweeping the division.
All right, let's go down to tough games, all right? At Atlanta, at Green Bay, what do you got?
I got them losing both.
Both games they lose. All right, at Minnesota, you got that as a win?
I do.
All right, at Dallas?
That's a loss.
At Buffalo?
Win.
Okay, now Seattle, New England, Chicago, what do you got?
I have them beating Chicago, losing to Seattle, New England. Like I said, those two home games are Seattle, New England. One of those games, they could pull out a win.
All right, so right now, you have them at 5 losses, or do you have another division loss?
No, I have them at 5 losses.
All right, 11-5, that's fair.
And the only other issue I have is the way I have the schedule worked out is I think I have them winning like 5 or 6 games in a row to finish the season, which is pretty tough to do.
It is. That's why I have them stumbling one down the stretch, either Washington or New York. I got 4 losses. I see them a lot more optimistically in Atlanta. Well, I think they're going to lose to Green Bay, and they're going to beat that first, win that first game in Dallas, then lose the second one, possibly.
Okay. So we're not too far off. Like I said, they could win one of the games I have as a loss, but I also think they could stumble. They could flip-flop an easy and a tough game.
All right, but you're still optimistic. 11-5 is all right. 4 o'clock hours ahead, the great number 36 will join us, Brian Westbrook, who, by the way, will be involved in our game day coverage right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. B. West coming to town.
It's exciting.
Ooh.
We upped the game. We upped it on every show.
It means B. West might be in for like an entire weekend, which means he can sit in more on Fridays.
That's what I'm expecting.
Is that the way it's supposed to work?
That's what I'm expecting.
We'll have to grill him about that. Mike Missanelli Show. Brian Westbrook next on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.